Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis. Bethel musher Pete Kaiser left the checkpoint in Elam this morning, 5 minutes ahead of Norwegian Jor Olsom, en route to the Iditarod sled dog race finish line in Nome. We'll have a complete Iditarod roundup at 7:45 this morning. The Fairbanks City Council failed to override Mayor Jim Matherly's veto of a controversial civil rights ordinance during Monday night's meeting. Councilman Jerry Cleworth and David Pruse again denied the majority the 5 votes needed to override. But as KUAC's Robin reports, the council members then agreed to begin reworking the measure again after a cooling off period, and they did not take action to put the ordinance to a citywide vote, as Matherly has called for.
Ordinance 6093 was first heard in December, and stakeholder groups came out in force and gave the council 3 hours of testimony. So the council postponed the ordinance until February 25th. After 2 more hours of testimony that evening, they passed the ordinance 4-2. David Pruse and Jerry Cleworth voted no. 4 days later, Fairbanks Mayor Jim Matherly vetoed the ordinance, saying too many out-of-city comments influenced the council, and it would be appropriate to allow only Fairbanks residents to vote on a referendum.
How are you going to protect this community over the next 8 months in this brutal battle that we're going to have for a ballot measure?
Mindy O'Neill was one of many at Monday's council meeting who were concerned that acts of discrimination might grow since the mayor's veto and before an October election. The ordinance was written like local laws in Anchorage, Juneau, and Sitka, but it became a larger issue for Fairbanks when politically active churches took over public comment about transgender rights. After the first public hearing, the council held 8 different work sessions. The mayor's veto was a surprise to council members who worked through the weeks-long process. But the veto was welcomed by religious activists who care deeply about their right to discriminate against people who don't follow their rules. At Monday's comment period, they gave testimony from the compassionate to the fanciful. Here are Kevin Smith and Danielle Rathman.
To abhor the lifestyle, that is simply it. But to abhor the person, that would be completely against what we believe. There's not an individual on planet Earth that I abhor, but the lifestyle I have to abhor.
There are other ways to show our community we care for them than letting men in the women's ladies. I respect my fellow Alaskans, but I do not wish to share the same bathroom with the male.
When it came time for the council to speak, each member addressed the division in the community created by the debate, but none more strongly than Catherine Otterston, who spent 6 minutes rebuking the mayor for his veto.
And I am ashamed of what you wrote disregarding these people. It sucks to put people's human rights up for popular vote.
So did Valerie Therrien.
I'm very disappointed in you, Mayor, in vetoing this ordinance. It's our duty as elected officials to protect the innocent people in our community. And by vetoing this, you have put them at risk.
Councilmember Jerry Cleworth still didn't like the legal remedies in the ordinance and said he would not vote to override the veto. And when it came time to vote, the overturn failed, leaving the veto in place. Then, curiously, the council started over. Therrien asked about bringing the same ordinance forward again. June Rogers agreed.
I think that we were so close in agreement earlier, we can do nothing but continue.
Cleworth and Pruse asked what it might take to craft an ordinance the whole council would agree on.
There's about 3 or 4 things that it would take for me to sign off on it.
I'm willing to go through the heartache, the abuse that we get, but then how long do we want to put Fairbanks through it?
Otterston asked for a cooling-off period before the council took up the issue again, and the council agreed. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
While Democratic state senators have been the most outspoken in their opposition to Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed budget cuts, it's the Republicans who control the Senate majority. And several GOP senators on the Finance Committee have expressed concerns. The committee has spent the most time on the budget since Dunleavy introduced it last month. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman talked with key senators about how they're going to approach the budget, and that could have a big impact on everything from what the state offers to the size of the permanent fund dividends.
For the past 3 weeks, the Senate Finance Committee has been reviewing Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget. Republican Click Bishop is on the committee. He lives a block from the University of Alaska Fairbanks and opposes the size of cut Dunleavy has proposed for state university funding.
It is a non-starter for me. I think we all need to take a step back and look at this problem and let data drive the discussion. And I just don't think there was a lot of thought put into this cut.
Bishop says the state should make major changes that will reduce spending, but he says Governor Dunleavy's budget has caused such a negative public reaction that it's been difficult to concentrate on meaningful cuts. For that to happen, Bishop wants more research on the effect of possible cuts. Bishop still hopes lawmakers and the governor can reach an agreement.
You know, I don't think really at the end of the day, anybody wants to get down to where it's bare knuckles in the mud barroom fight over this budget.
Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki says the size of Dunleavy's proposals has caused an important conversation, and he says it requires those opposed to the cuts to come up with alternatives. But Michicki says he wants to hear from the people who will have to implement the cuts, mapped out by the governor's Office of Management and Budget.
My impression is that OMB found some big numbers and plugged them into a budget, and now we're hoping that the commissioners can come forward and discuss attainable reductions while still delivering the services that they're required by the little blue book, the Constitution, to deliver. And what we're seeing is a clear disconnect between those that are required to deliver the services and those that produce the budget.
Michicki says it's going to take compromise, both on the part of the 60 legislators and the governor.
What that means is we have to work together. And that means that it doesn't get to be exactly the way I want it to be.
Helping to steer the budget to a resolution will be Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. He's back as finance co-chairman after a six-year break, and he's facing a possible reduction that cuts at the heart of his coastal district, the end of funding for the Alaska Marine Highway System on October 1st.
I thought we'd have a substantial reduction, but not a potential termination, so that was a surprise. But the overall direction was not. The magnitude, a little bit, more than I anticipated.
Stedman says he's hoping for a compromise that will include funding to keep the ferries running. He says the budget process isn't about reaching a spending level without regard to the needs of Alaskans. He expects that throughout the budget process, legislators will communicate with the governor. He says Dunleavy proposed a budget that will stop spending state savings.
I agree with that premise, and I want to work with them to make sure that we fix the fiscal situation and protect the permanent fund and keep the Marine Highway running at the same time. So it's going to be quite the juggling act.
Stedman says this year will be the first step in a 2 or 3 year reduction to the budget.
We need to fix our problem. The generation today needs to fix today's generation's little budget problems and not pass it on to the future.
The House is aiming to pass its version of the budget over to the Senate by early April. It's not clear if the upper chamber will be done with its budget work by the scheduled end of the session on April 14th. Under the state constitution, the regular session can last as long as May 15th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And I'm Tim Ellis.